Okay, we're on. The recorder's on. Okay, good. Okay, good morning. We're on Daf Beitza Daf Zion. We're going to start two lines from the bottom on Vav Amud Beis, even though Rabbi Glasser last week got, I think, two lines from the top. But let's just get the running flow. We are talking about the statement made by Rav Huna Marav about halfway through Vav Amud Beis, in which he said, Beitza im Yitziyasa Nigmara, that an egg is finished when it comes out of the hen, when it comes out of the chicken, that marks the finishing of the egg. And the Gemara has been trying to figure out what halachic import that statement has, what's the nafkamina. And so now we're suggesting on the second to bottom line on Vav Amud Beis, Elam Yitziyasa Nigmara Umegadela Sefrochim, B'me'ima Ina Megadela Sefrochim, that it can that the egg can result in the development of a chick if you let it come out, but prior to it coming out of the hen, it won't raise a chick. Meaning, if you shecht the chicken and you harvest the eggs from the shechted chicken, those eggs will not ever develop a chick. It's only if you let the egg fully develop and come out of the hen and be laid by the hen, only such an egg that was actually laid, will go on to develop a chick in it. Okay? So the Gemara immediately asks, L'may nafkamina, who cares? What's the halakhic difference? What's the difference? L'mekach u'memkart, it affects rules relating to commerce. Ki yahud amr lei bei depach yilman. So for example, a person goes out into the marketplace and says, who has, meaning I want to buy, an egg that was laid. Pachya, Rashi explains, is from the word pua. A cackling sound when it lays the egg. A beit depachya refers to an egg that was laid. So a person goes out into the marketplace and says, who has an egg that was laid? I want to buy an egg that was laid. And instead they stole him a egg that was harvested from a shechted chicken. So Aslo Kameder of Yami, he didn't like this, and he wanted to reverse the sale. He wanted to get his money back. So he came to Rav Yami to Paskin, is he entitled to his money back? Amar luhu mekach tozu vahadr. So Rav Yami said, it's a mekach toz, it's a fraudulent sale, it's a messed up sale. You get to reverse the sale, you get your money back. So the Gemara immediately says, Pshita, of course it's a fraudulent sale, of course you get your money back. He went into the marketplace and he said, I want to buy a laid egg, and instead they gave him exactly not what he was looking for. They gave him a chicken that was shechted, and they took the egg from the shechted chicken. So Gemara says, Ma'u detema, you might have thought, Hai la'achila kabai lahu, that this person who went and asked for a laid egg, he wasn't so concerned about the ability of the egg to develop a chick. He liked the taste of a laid egg better than the egg of a shechted chicken. Because he wanted to taste that type of egg better. And therefore, l'maynaf kamina l'mespala bene bene. And perhaps he should have only been entitled to a refund of the difference between the market price of a laid egg and an egg that was harvested from a shechted chicken. Kamashmalan, Rabbi Ami's halacha, and what he told them was, no, you get to reverse the entire sale, it's considered mekach tos, and you get your money back. Then the Gemara says a case that's very, very similar. Ahu damar lei paid the dichra l'man, paid the dich l'man. He goes out into the marketplace and he says, I want to buy a fertilized egg. Dichra is from the Lashon of Zachar. An egg that had been fertilized, where the chicken or the hen had been fertilized by the egg had been fertilized by a rooster first, and only then was it laid. He wants to buy a fertilized egg. Yavu lebeid the safna miara, and instead they sold him an unfertilized egg. Rashi explains safna miara means that it was wormed from the earth, meaning it wasn't fertilized. It was wormed from the earth. So, and again, also kamei Rabbi Ami. He came to Rabbi Ami and he said, this was a mekach tos, I want my money back, I want to reverse the sale. So amar luhu mekach tos uvahadr. So Rabbi Ami paskind that in fact he gets to reverse the sale, he gets his money back. So the Gemara Miui says, pshita, of course this is a reverse sale. He said, I want to buy a fertilized egg, and they sold him an unfertilized egg. So he got the wrong product, he should of course be able to reverse the sale. So Gemara again says, ma'u detema, you might have thought, hai la'achila kabai luhu. Really, this person wasn't concerned specifically that it be a fertilized egg because he wanted it to be able to develop into a chick. but he was only concerned about its taste. He was really buying the egg to eat anyway. And the only reason he insisted on a fertilized egg was because he liked the taste of that better. It was a fattier kind of taste. And therefore, what would the result have been? So perhaps he should have only been entitled to a refund of the difference between the price of a fertilized egg and a non-fertilized egg. Kamash Malan comes along Rabbi Ami and says, no, you get to reverse the whole transaction. It's a mekach tos, you get your money back. It's a surprising halacha the way this appears, because the implication is if you go into a supermarket, let's say you go into Seasons, and you go to the butcher and you say, I want a certain grade of meat, and he gives you a lower grade of meat. Now, everyone knows that your purpose is to eat the meat, right? So what would come out is that because this Gemara said Rabbi Ami only said that you get to reverse the sale, at least according to the way Rashi understands this. Rabbi Ami said you get to reverse the sale. It's a mekach tos, because we conclude that really the person intended to raise chicks. That's why he gets to reverse the sale. The implication is that he only meant to eat the eggs, and he was only interested in the higher grade the egg because of the taste difference, then he wouldn't have been able to reverse the sale. He would have just been able to recover the difference. That's difficult to understand, but and yet, if you look in the Truma Sadeshin, actually paskins halacha this way, and the Ramah actually quotes this halacha, that you'd only be entitled to the difference in the price difference between the high quality egg and the lower quality egg, or the high quality meat, the lower quality meat. The Bach says that this is not true. Everything we know about mekach tos and everything we know about onah is if you went in the supermarket and specified that you want the higher quality, and the guy gave you, the butcher gave you the lower quality, you should be able to reverse the order. You were not getting what you were actually represented. So the Bach said that la, we don't follow this. He actually has a different girsa of this whole Gemara and says we don't follow this this Ramah. We don't follow this Truma Sadeshin. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to offer a different interpretation of the statement that Rav Huna Marav, again, Rav Huna Marav on the last Amud said that Beitza Yitziyasa Nigmara, that the egg is finished when it is laid. And so we just explained one interpretation of what that means. The Gemara is going to give you a different one. V'iba Yiseimba, and perhaps it means Mayim Yitziyasa Nigmara. What does it mean that the egg was that the egg is finished when it's laid? In Yitziyas Ruba Nigmara. It means to tell you that the halacha is that once a majority of the egg is laid, comes out of the hen, that's considered as if it's been laid. For what purpose? Ukad Rabbi Yochanan. To Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Beitza Shiyatza Ruba Me'erav Yom Tov, V'chazra Muteris L'achol B'Yom Tov. If you remember, our very first Mishnah said that an egg that is laid on Yontif is Aser. But the question is, what's considered laid? What happens if the egg gets kind of half laid, it sort of half comes out of the hen, and then it goes back up into the canal? Is that considered laid? So if that happened on Erev Yontif, and then it goes back up, and then on Yontif itself it actually fully comes out, is that considered an egg that is laid on Yontif? So Rabbi Yochanan says that once it comes out halfway, even if it goes back in and then gets laid on Yontif, it's not considered an egg that's laid on Yontif. You can eat that egg, you can move that egg.
Is it applicable also to people? A woman giving birth on Friday, baby comes out halfway, and then for a reason, well, on Shabbos, so the birth is on Friday?
Oh, the birth? I don't know. First of all, I don't know that biologically that ever really happens. I don't know about chicken either, but it's a good question. I think I don't know that question comes up because I don't think it happens. Fine. So the Gemara suggests here that what Rabbi Huna Marav was saying was that imitsiyas and nigmara, that he's agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan's statement that once it half comes out, it's considered late. Vikadamar, another way to read this is my imitsiyas and nigmara. What does it mean when he says imitsiyas and nigmara? Imitsiyas kula nigmara. Rabbi Huna Marav is coming out with a more stringent statement and saying against Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzias Kua in Aval Rubalo Lafuke Mid Rabbi Yochanan, that only when the egg fully comes out of the hen is it considered laid, and therefore if it only came out halfway on Erev Yontif and then it fully came out on Yontif itself, it would be considered Mukta, it would be Aser, and he's saying something other than, or he's disagreeing with what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Good, that's the end of our analysis of Rav Huna Marav's statement. And now we just delve in for a moment to something that we mentioned along the way, which is the following. Gufa. Hashochet es ha-tarnigolas u-matzav ba-beitzim gemuros. If you shecht a chicken and you find in them fully developed eggs, mutaros l'achlan b'chalav. You don't assume that this is part of the chicken. These are eggs, just as if they had been laid, since they were fully developed within the chicken, and they're parv. You can eat them with milk. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov says, im hayu muros begidin, if they're still wrapped in the sinews, meaning the way an egg looks in its mother, it kind of has veins wrapped around it. So if the veins are still wrapped around it, meaning it's not fully developed, so then asuros, then you consider it fleishik. You can't eat it with milk. It's considered fleishik. So now the Gemara is going to introduce a brisa and try to fit the brisa with Rabbi Yaakov or not with Rabbi Yaakov. Let's see. Man Tana lahadu Tana Rabbanan. Which Tana, meaning was it the Tana Kama or was it Rabbi Yaakov, who would agree with the following brisa? Ha'ochel min avelas of tahor. An avelas of tahor has a very unique status halachically with respect to tumah. What's an avelas? An avelas of is, let's say it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving and you're going on a turkey shoot, right? So today, right? So if you go on a turkey shoot and you shoot a turkey, that's considered an avelas of tahor. Turkey we generally assume is an of tahor. You could eat a turkey. The only problem is you can only eat it if you shecht it. If you shoot the turkey, it's considered a nevela, and you can't eat it. But not only can't you eat it, but it has a unique status with respect to tumah, which is that if you swallow, once you swallow any part of that turkey that's normally edible, you become tameh, and your begadim become tameh. You become tameh, and your begadim become tameh. So the Braisa says, ha'ochal min nevela sof tar. Let's say you eat that shot turkey. So min hashalal shel beitzim, or you eat its sack of eggs, and we're going to assume in a moment the Gemara is going to talk about whether this refers to whether this matches up with those moros begidin. If this is the same category as those eggs that are still within inside the bird, but that are surrounded by sinews. So eat from shalal shel beitzim, some sort of sack of eggs that are within the bird, mina atzamos, or from its bones, mina gidin, from its veins, umina basar shnitlash mina chai, or let's say, for example, a piece of that turkey had been cut off before it was killed, so it's aver mina chai. So all those things tahor. Don't fall into the category of nevelos of tahor, because we said that the only thing that you become tameh as a by virtue of swallowing the meat is a part of the turkey that's typically eaten, and these. All these things that are in this ratio of the brisa are things that are either not part of the turkey, such as, for example, the aver min hachai, or the shalosh habeitzim, or parts of the turkey that are not typically eaten, like the veins or like the bones. So all those things your tar are not considered; they don't fall into the category of nevelos of tar. However, min ha'eshkol shel beitzim, and this is another description of some other. Part of the eggs or the eggs at a different stage of development, mina korkovan, or from the crop of the turkey, b'nei amayin, from the intestines of the turkey, o shehimcha es achela v'gamo, or you melt the fat of the turkey and drink it. So all those things, tameh, they all fell into the category of nevelas of tahor, your tameh. So the Gemara says, man tana mina shal shal beitzim tahor, which is the tana that said that if you eat the shalal shel beitzim, these eggs that are developed inside the turkey, you're considered tahor, meaning they're not considered like the meat of the turkey. Rav Yosef, delo k'Rav Yaakov. D'k'Rav Yaakov, amri mayu muros begidin asuros. Rav Yaakov is the one who told us that if the eggs are still within the bird, and they're muros begidin, and they're still surrounded by the sinews, then it's considered asuros, it's considered part of, meaning you can't eat it with milk, it's considered part of the bird. So if it's part of the bird, you should be tamei, because any part of the bird that you eat would make you tamei. So Amar Abaye, mimai. Don't be so sure that's true. Dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yaakov hasa. Maybe Rabbi Yaakov only said there that the eggs inside the bird are considered part of the bird and fleishik el inyan yisura, because he wanted to be machmir as a gezer drabanan to say that these eggs, even though minat Torah, fundamentally they may be considered parv, but we want to go out of our way and make a gezer drabanan to make them fleishik. In order just to, as a gezeira. Aval inyan tumah, but when it comes to tumah, lo, maybe not for tumah. V'chitem al inyan tumah nami nigzor. Maybe you would say that if you're going to make a gezeira to treat these developed eggs inside the bird as fleishik for purposes of basar b'chalv, you should also treat them that way for purposes of tumah, make it a tumah drabanan. So we are saying, afushei tumahu, v'afushei tumah midrabanan lo mavshinan. As a general rule, Chazal try not to make too many things tumah, because it results in a loss of property, right? If you make things tummy, they're going to be tummy other things. It's bad, so Chazal generally refrained from making too many things tummy. So that's one reading of the whole comparison between this Braisa and Rabbi Yaakov. The Ikadamri, another way, Mantana min Hashkol Shel Beitzim. So this now reading focuses on the second part of the Braisa. If you remember, the Braisa had talked about a Shal Shel Beitzim, which it said was Tahor, which it said was not considered part of the bird, and then it said Eshkol Shel Beitzim, which it said Tame, which is considered part of the bird. So this part of it focuses on the second part and says maybe the Eshkol Shel Beitzim are the part that's more analogous to the Beitzim Amuros Begidin. So Amar Rav Yosef Rav Yaakov. So Rav Yosef said that the second part of the Braisa, which says that the Eshkol of Beitzim are Tame, that lines up with the Shita of Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov is the one who said that if the Beitzim are Muros Begidin, if they're surrounded by the sinews, then it's considered part of the bird and Fleishik. So now Abaye challenges then and says, no, maybe not. How do you know that the Eshkol Shel Beitzim is analogous to the Beitzim Hamuros Begidin? Maybe Dilma Eshkol Gufei. Maybe it's referring not to the eggs, but to the part of the spine of the chicken that kind of surrounds the eggs. Maybe it's the meat that's right next to the eggs. The Chitem El Eshkol Gufei Ma'il Memra. And if the question, if you're going to ask, then why even talk about the meat? We know that if you eat the meat, your tummy. Midi dava korkavan ubnei mayin. It fits into the same category as the crop and the intestines, which are also clearly part of the turkey. They're clearly meat. The afagav the baser ninu, even though they're clearly meat, keva dika inshi duo achli istricha ashminan. So since there's many people, probably us, don't eat the intestines and don't eat the crop, they're not really such edible parts of the turkey. So that's why you might have thought that they don't fall into the gzeras hakasuv of nevelos oftar. Comes along the Braisa and says they do. So hachanami kevan diike inshi dugo achli. Since most people don't eat these parts of the turkey where that are surrounding the egg, right near the spine, the parts that are surrounding the eggs, it's richa shminan. So the Braisa needs to tell you that no, those are also included in the gzeras hakasuv of nevelos oftar and their aser. Okay, fine. So that was our analysis of that. Now we start a new topic. Here, Tanu Rabbanan, Braisa says, Kol shetashmisho bayom noad bayom. Any animal who mates during the day will also give birth during the day as a rule. Kol shetashmisho balayla, animals that mate at night, noad balayla, will typically give birth at night. Kol shetashmisho bayom bayom uvein balayla, and animals that, as a species, mate both during the day or can mate both during the day and at night, noad bein bayom vein belayla, they will give birth both times. So now the Gemara explains what we're talking about. Kosha teshmisho bayom noad bayom, any species that mates during the day gives birth at day. Zutarni golas, this is a chicken. I checked the internet and it's true, chickens typically will lay eggs only during the day. They're only during the day, typically from dawn till, or from the 6 hours, the first 6 hours of the day, from like dawn till 3 p.m. or something like that. Typically they'll lay their eggs. Sometimes you'll have a problem and there's a hen that's laying their eggs at night, but that's considered like a problem. You got to fix it.
Hopefully it takes away Shiloh's if it lays it on Ben Ashman.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to get into it. That's going to be the Nafkamino. We're going to see what happens here. Kol Tashmisho Balayla Noah Balayla. What animal is it that mates at night and therefore only gives birth at night? Zu atlif, that's a bat, which makes sense. Bats are nocturnal animals. Kosha tashmisho bein bayom uvein balayla. What species can mate both during the day and at night? Adam v'chol the dummy life. So this refers to your typical mammal, which can mate during the day, can mate at night. As we know, people give birth during the day and people give birth at night. So Amar Mar, Kosha tashmisho bayom noad bayom zutarni golas lomai nafkimina. Why are we talking about this? This is all very interesting biologically, but what halachic import does this have? L'chad Rav Mari b'reid Rav Kahana. The Amar Rav Mari b'reid Rav Kahana. Rav Mari b'reid Rav Kahana says the following interesting halacha. Baduk b'kana shatarni golim. Let's say you check the nesting box of the chicken, of the hen, May Erev Yom Tov, and you check it right before Yontov starts, right before you light candles, V'lo Matzah Ba'Beitza, and you find it to be empty. There's no egg in there. U'lamachar, and the next morning, Hishkim, you get up very, very early, right at the crack of dawn, meaning no daylight has passed yet, right? You're catching the day right as it's starting. U'matzah Ba'Beitza, and you find an egg in the nesting box. The question is, can you eat that egg? We know you're not allowed to eat an egg laid on Yontif. Can you assume that this egg was, well, I don't know, what do you do with this egg? You didn't see any egg there right before Yontif. The night has passed, 12 hours or something like that have passed. Now you see an egg there. So we say, muteris. You can eat the egg because you could assume that it wasn't laid at night, because we all know that chickens don't lay eggs at night. So you could assume it wasn't late at night. It wasn't late on Yontif. It must have been late on Erev Yontif. Gemara says, what are you talking about? Valo badak. You checked that there was no egg there. So Gemara says, no, emer lo badak yafe yafe. We're so sure that chickens don't lay eggs at night that it must be you didn't check hard enough. Vafiu badak yafe. And if you can, are you going to say, no, I really, really, really checked hard. I really checked hard. So vafiu badak yafe, ema yatsasa ruba v'chazra. Havai. Maybe this was a case like Rav Yochanan's case above, where it kind of half came out, went back in. That's when you checked. You didn't see an egg there. And then overnight, the rest of it came out. Look at Rav Yochanan. Like the sheet of Rav Yochanan. So Gemara says, Ini v'amarav Yossi barish ben Shmuel amarav. So is this really true, everything we're saying? We have another memra of Rav Yosef ben Shaul amarav, that badak bekanisha tarnigolas, you check the nesting box of a chicken, may Erev Yontov on Erev Yontov, v'lob matzah ba'beitza, and you find it to be empty. L'machar hishkim, exact same case, l'machar hishkim matzah ba'beitza, and you find an egg, asura, it's asur because you checked, and it wasn't there. It must have been that the egg was laid during the night. So we have a contradiction. Which is it? Can you assume that the egg wasn't laid at night, or do you have to come to the conclusion the egg was laid at night, and therefore you can't eat the egg? So Gemara says, Hasam, this latter memra of Rav Yossi ben Shaul, Hasam b'desafna me'ara, is talking about a situation where the egg wasn't fertilized. And Rashi explains, when the egg wasn't fertilized, on rare occasions, it can be late at night. And so for an unfertilized egg, you can't assume that it was laid the day before. If you checked it, it might have been late at night. It's therefore aser. So ihachi, Drav Marinami, Ema Meara Safna. How do you know? Why didn't you just say that in Rav Mari's case, also, where you checked it before Yontif and it was not there, and now you check it the next morning and there's an egg there, maybe you just say that this was an unfertilized egg, and that's why this egg was laid at night. So Gemara answers, Bedika Zachar Vada. No, there's a rooster in the area. There's a rooster there.
There's a rooster.
So the Gemara says, Bedika Zachar Nami, Ema Meara Safna. Just because there was a rooster there, how do you know the rooster fertilized this particular hen?
Yeah.
Maybe this was an unfertilized egg, and that's why it was late at night. So Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, Kol Heicha Deika Zachar Lo Safna Meara. If there's a rooster around, that rooster is going to fertilize the egg. You could pretty much bet on it. So Gemara says, Ha'abiyad Kama, how far do you take this rule? What if there was a rooster 2 miles away? Does that also count? Amarav Gamda, Mishmei Derav, Kohicha Deshama, Kalei Biyamama. As far as you could hear the sound of the rooster during the day. Rashi says the reason why we're focusing on Yamama is because there's a difference between the way sound travels at night and during the day. Tosfos goes with a much more logical explanation of, we know that eggs mate. That I'm sorry, the chickens mate during the day. That's why it's relevant whether you can hear the rooster's voice during the day. But the point is that as long as you could hear the rooster far close enough that you could hear his voice during the day, you have to assume that that rooster fertilized this hen, this egg, and therefore you you cannot rely on the fact that the egg was laid at night. Rav Mari Uvda Adshisim Bati. I'm sorry. Avad Rav Mari Uvda Adshisim Bati. And Rav Mari said that it goes until 60 houses, meaning Rav Mari actually relied on the fact up to a distance of 60 houses, however that distance is. Then the Gemara says, Vika Naro Lo Avra. If there's a river in between, you could assume that the rooster didn't cross the river. The rooster's not that eager. He's not able to cross rivers. Vika Mavra Avra. But if there's a bridge over the river, you can pretty much assume that the rooster crossed the bridge to get to the hen. Vika Mitzra Lo Avra. But if there's a rope bridge, roosters aren't that good. They can't cross rope bridges. However, Hu Avda Vavda Mitzra. But there was a case where a rooster actually crossed the rope bridge. So now we know the rules as to when you could presume that a rooster got to the hen. So now the Gemara takes a step back and says, okay, one second. B'mayu Kimta, what are we talking about? When we, in terms of Rav Yossi Bar Shaul's statement that the egg found the next morning was usser, is B'desafna Mi'ara, is a situation where there was no rooster around and where it was an unfertilized egg. So then if that's true, Ma'iria Badak, Kilo Badak Nami. Why is that case limited to a situation where you checked on Erev Yontif? Shouldn't it also be true that even if you checked on Erev Yontif, even if you didn't check on Erev Yontif, if we know that a hen can lay an unfertilized egg at night, so it should be usur, you should have to presume that the egg was laid at night. So the Gemara says, no, ki lo badak, if you didn't check the nesting box right before Yontif, Ema Me'asmo Havai. It's not so, as Rashi points out, it's not so common, even unfertilized eggs, that the hen, even with unfertilized eggs, that the hen will lay it at night. And therefore, if you didn't check it, it's more common, it's more likely that the egg was laid from Erev Yontif and you could eat it. Because it's not so, again, it's not so common that chickens lay eggs at night, even unfertilized eggs. So Ihachi ki badak nami. So if that's true that it's not so common, so then ki badak nami, even if you checked it, Ema yatsaruba v'chazra hiu k'Rav Yochanan. Why don't you then say that Rav Yochanan's scenario was the one that applied, and therefore, again, we're saying it's not so likely that chickens lay eggs at night, and so maybe what we're dealing with was a scenario of Rav Yochanan, and therefore the eggs should be mutter. So the answer is, Rav Yochanan, again, Rav Yochanan was the situation where it came out half and then went back in and then came out, and Rav Yochanan says it's as if it laid it from before Yontif. So it should be mutter. So the answer is, Rav Yochanan lo shliach. Rav Yochanan is even less common, and therefore you can't rely on that. And then the Gemara just throws in, Amar Rav Yossi Bar Shaul, Amar Rav, Haituma Shechika Sakanta Guguye. The reason it throws this in is because Rav Yossi Bar Shaul was the one who told us the thing about the egg on the previous Amud. And so that same Amora is speaking here in the name of Rav to say that crushed garlic is a sakana to keep it uncovered. The Gemara generally has a rule, and Shulchan Aruch actually paskins like this, even though we're not Hoshi Shavuos today, that if you leave water uncovered, there's a concern that a snake might have put his venom in the water, you shouldn't drink it. It's usher to drink it because it's a sakana, it's dangerous, and so the same is true, according to Rav here, by crushed garlic.
Not just water, different liquids besides water.
Also. Okay, different liquids, so now we're putting crushed garlic into that category also. Okay. All right, now for the first time in Seven Dapim, we're actually going to get back to our Mishnah and move on. And we're going to quote the next part of the Mishnah, which, if you recall, had a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to the shear of chametz and the shear of yeast, of sor. And we said that whereas Beis Hillel says, zev v'zev b'kazayis, that the shear for both yeast and chametz is a kazayis, Beis Shammai was mekel and said that's true by Sa'or, but by chametz, you are not over the isser of, well, we'll see what isser we're talking about, but you're not over, it's not considered chametz, you're not over an isser until you reach the volume of a date, kosevas. So the Gemara says, "My tamayu de Beis Shammai." How did Beis Shammai derive this? How did Beis Shammai know, the Gemara is saying, how did Beis Shammai know that there are two separate shiurim for chametz and sa'or? So im kain, if they had had the same shiur, lichtov rachmana chametz v'lo b'isur, the Torah would have had to just say chametz, and you wouldn't need to have a pasuk
for sa'or
separately. Va'na aminan, I would have known. Umach chametz she'in chimutzo kasha, because I is chametz, which is just chametz, is a kazayis. Sa'or she'chimutzo kasha, sa'or yeast, which is super chametz in the sense that it could actually make other things into, it's a leavening agent, it can make other things into chametz, so it's kasha, so lo koshkin, so of course its shear should also be kazayis. So the kaz of Rachman Alamli, so why did the Torah have to add additional words and tell us that sor is also aser? Lo merucha shiru shel zeh, lo kashiru shel zeh. By stating each one separately, the Torah tips us off to the fact that they have separate shiurim. One is sor, one is kakosevas. Uveis Hillel tzriche. So what's Beis Hillel going to do with this logic? So Beis Hillel says tzriche. Beis Hillel is going to argue, no. The Torah needed to say both things separately. Don't derive any halacha from the fact that it did so. Because of Rachman is sor, if it had just specified yeast, hava mina mishum duchimutzo kasha, I might have thought that only sa'or is asr on Pesach, because as we said, sa'or is a super chametz. It's a leavening agent, it will make something else chametz. And so it itself is asr, aval chametz de'in chimutzo kasha, chametz is just plain chametz, emelo. Maybe that's heter gomer. Maybe you could eat chametz on Pesach. So tzricha, and that's why you need it to say chametz. Because of rachman chametz, and if the Torah had just said the word chametz, so you might have thought mishum deroy la'achila, because chametz is something that's edible. You can eat chametz. We eat chametz all the time. Aval se'or shein roy la'achila. You don't eat sourdough. You don't eat a leavening agent like sourdough. It's not roy la'achila. So ema lo. Maybe you would have thought that that is permissible on Pesach tzricha. That's why the Torah had to say both. And so again, says Beis Hillel, don't derive from the fact that it says both that there are different shiurim for both. So the Gemara now says, so Beis Shammai, who says that there are different shiurim, less lehud Rabbi Zeira, does he disagree or does he not hold of the member of Rabbi Zeira? The member of Rabbi Zeira, pasach hakasav b'se'or, b'siyem b'chametz, within the same parsha, even within the same sentences, within the same discussion there, it refers interchangeably to se'or and chametz. Lo morucha zeu se'or zeu chametz, to teach you just the opposite of what Beis Shammai had derived, to teach you that each one follows the rules of the other, meaning the same shiur for each. So the Gemara says, no, actually Beis Shammai doesn't reject this member of Rabbi Zeira, because everyone agrees that with respect to achila, they have the same shiur. Ki pligi, the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is linyan biur, is only with respect to the isser of owning and having in your possession se'or and chametz. With respect to that, Beis Shammai savri lo yalfinam biur me'achila. Don't learn the rules of biur from the rules of achila. And just because achila, they have the same shear, says Beis Shammai, don't think that's also true by biur. And in fact, biur doesn't kick in for chametz until kakosevas. Beis Hillel savri yalfinam biur me'achila. Beis Hillel says, no, the rules apply from achila to biur. And just like achila has the same shear for both, so too, and it's a kazayas, so too by biur. Itmer Nami, we have another member that's consistent with this, Amar Rav Yossi Barachanina, Machokas Linyan Biur. The Machokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is with respect to getting rid of the chametz, owning the chametz. Aval Inyan Achila, Divrei HaKol Zev Zev B'Kazayis, they all agree that the shear for sor and chametz with respect to Achila is a Kazayis. And then finally, we have another Brisa that's consistent with this, Tanya Nami Achi. Voyeralcha chametz, voyeralcha sor. Quotes the pasuk. Zeu machokes shvein Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. This is the pasuk with respect to biur, to ownership of chametz, and that's where the machokes of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel kicks in. Shvein Beis Shammai omrim sor bekazayis v'chametz v'kagoseves. They each have their own shear. Beis Hillel omrim ze v'ze bekazayis. Beis Hillel says that each one has a shear of a kazayis. Fine. The Gemara is done now with that part of the Mishnah, and it goes on to the next part of the Mishnah, which talked about shechting an animal on Yontif. And now we're going to get specifically into the issue of what role does the ability to do Kisui Hadam play, and this was what the Mishnah was talking about, play into the ability to shecht. So actually, let's review the Mishnah, just because it doesn't quote it in whole here. So the Mishnah, again, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph here says, Hashochei Chaya V'Oof B'Yom Tov. One who shechts a chaya and an oaf. A chaya is a wild animal, an oaf is a bird. Those are the two animals that have a requirement of kisui hadam. Kisui hadam is the mitzvah in the Torah that once the animal is shechted, that you pour some dirt over the blood. So that applies to a chaya and an oaf. Doesn't apply to a behemoth. So if you shecht a chaya and oaf on yantif, beishamari omrim yachbar v'dekar v'yichase, you should dig and cover it with dirt. Beisil omrim lo yishchad elon kein hayo ofar mucha mibo yom. Hillel says, don't shecht unless you have the dirt ready. So the Gemara now is going to analyze the text here because it doesn't read very straight. They seem to be talking about two different cases. One's l'chatchila, one's b'dievet. Let's see. So the Gemara says, ha'shochet d'yevet in l'chatchila lo. So the Gemara's immediate reaction to the lashon of the Mishnah is to say that the ha'shochet chayav of sounds like a situation where you already shechted it, right? Ha'shochet, one who shechts, chayav of, and now you're faced with the question of what do you do? Can you do kisui hadam? So that sounds like we're attacking the question b'dievet. Ema seifa, but yet if you look at the next part of the Mishnah, ve'sil omrim lo yishchot, don't shecht unless you have the afar mucha mivoyo, unless you have the dirt ready. That sounds michal the tanakam savar yishchot. That sounds like the whole topic of the Mishnah is whether you can shecht l'chatchila, right? It doesn't read. So the Gemara answers, "Hello, Kasha. This is not a problem. Yishchot v'yichase kamer. You should read base Hillel as referring to the situation of b'dievet. You shechted, and now base Hillel saying, well, now you've shechted. Okay, so don't do the kisui. Yishchot v'yichase kamer. It's talking about what do you do about the kisui after the fact, now that it's been shechted." But the problem with that is Ema Seifa. If you get into the third part of that Mishnah, of that little part of the Mishnah, Umodim Shim Shachat Shiachbar B'dech Riechasa, they both agree, says the Mishnah, both Beisham and Yisrael, that once you shechted, that you can do Kisui, that Michal the Reisha Lav Diavadu. It sounds like the Reisha is not Diavadu. The whole thing is a whole Mishkabah. Well, it's hard to understand what's going on in that Mishnah. Is it L'chatchila? Is it B'dievet? Did you already shecht? Are you trying to figure out whether you can shecht? What's going on? So now Rabbah is going to come and save the day, and he's going to explain what the Mishnah is saying. Amar Rabbah, Hachi Kamer. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Ha-shochet Shabo Imalich. Someone who is a shochet. Someone who, meaning, is today is a shochet. He wants to shecht the bird. He wants to shecht the chicken. Shabo Imalich, and he's asking you what the halach is. May I shecht? Ketzad Omer Lo. How should you answer him? Beishamai Omrim Omer. So Beishamai says, Omer Lo. You should respond to him by saying, Shechot Chafor v'chasei. It's yantif. Shechit is allowed. Go shecht, and then dig a hole, and then do kisui adam. U'beisil omrim, and Beisil says, say to him, lo yishchot, don't shecht, elim kein hayo lo afar mucha mibojom. You're not allowed to shecht and get yourself into a problem of potentially digging up dirt on yantif unless you have the dirt ready to go. Don't shecht unless you have the dirt ready to go. That's the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Rabbah. Rav Yosef Amar, and here's a slightly different read. Rav Yosef's going to say, no, not like Rabbah, but he's going to read it slightly differently. Hachikamar, here's what it means to say. Hashochet Shvo Himalech, Hashochet is asking you whether to shech. Here it uses the word Himalech, before it uses the word Limalech. No one makes a big deal over that. It seems to be synonyms. So Kate said, Omer Lo, what do you do? What do you say to this person who wants to shech? Beishamai Omrim Omer Lo. So Beishamai says, you say to him, Omer Lo, you say to him, Leich Chafor Shachot V'chasei. Dig, shecht, and cover. So this is the difference between Rabbah's statement and Rav Yosef. Rabbah said, Shachot Chafor V'chasei. Shecht, dig, cover. Rav Yosef is saying, dig, shecht, cover. Beisil Omrim Lo Yishchad Elon Kein Hayo Ofer Mucha Mibo Yom. Same thing, Beisil says, don't shecht unless you were had dirt prepared from before then. So what's the difference between Rabbah and Rav Yosef? So Amar Abaye Rav Yosef. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Lema mar v'rabba b'drabi zera amarav kim mefugisu. You and Rabba, I suggest, were arguing about the halacha of Rabbi Zeira Amarav. The Amar Rabbi Zeira Amarav, Rabbi Zeira Amarav says, Hashocheid tzarech shiitein afer lamato av afer lamala. He's describing the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, and Rabbi Zeira holds that the mitzvah of Kisui Adam doesn't just involve putting dirt over the blood, but it also involves putting dirt under the blood. Shenemar v'shafach estamo v'chiseo be'afar. The pasuk that teaches us Kisui Adam says you should you should spill its blood v'chiseo be'afar, and you should cover it with blood. Afar lo nemar ela be'afar. It doesn't say afar; it says be'afar, as if to say you should put it into the dirt. Melamed shashochet tzarech shiitein afar lamata. That teaches you that the shochet has to put afar, dirt, under it. Ve'afar lamata, and dirt above it. Meaning you should have dirt under it prepared. Spill the blood onto the prepared dirt, and then cover it with another layer of dirt. And that's Rabbi Zeira's din. Demar, and so Abaye is saying, Mar, you, Rav Yosef, islay de Rabbi Zeira. You must hold of Rabbi Zeira, and that's why you wrote, Chafor shachot v'chasei, dig, shecht, cover, because you got to dig first to get that first layer ready, then shecht, and then cover. V'rabba, less layer Rabbi Zeira, and Rabba, who said shachot chafor v'chasei, he wasn't worried about the first layer of dirt, because he doesn't hold, you need a first layer of dirt. He just says shecht, and then dig and cover. So Amr Lay, so Rav Yosef said, no, that's all wrong. Beng l'didi, beng l'rabba, islan de Rabbi Zeira. Everyone holds, we all hold the Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira is halacha, everyone holds the Rabbi Zeira. You need a first layer, then you put the blood, then you put a second layer. V'haka b'haka mafuginon. This is what we're arguing. Rabba savar, iika afar lamata in, ilolo. If you already had a layer of dirt on the bottom, then you can shecht. Again, remember, we're in Shitas Beis Shammai, the permissible Shita, which says you can shecht, right? You can shecht. So Rav is now saying, even Beis Shammai, who is the permissible opinion, is only allowing you to shecht if you had dirt ready, a layer of dirt on the bottom. Ilo, but if you didn't have dirt waiting on the bottom, lo, you cannot shecht. Because we're very worried about the situation here. Think about it. You don't have dirt ready, and now Beis Shammai says you could shecht. So what's the first thing you do? Okay, you get your knife ready, you get your chicken ready. You also now have to get your dirt ready. So you start digging your dirt, and you get it all ready, and now you're going to shecht it. But the problem is, what if you change your mind, or you get distracted, and you end up not shechting the chicken? So it turns out that you've done this thing, which we're going to see later, is a quasi malacha, as potentially a malacha. Let's assume now the dirt is not really muchan, so it's a problem muktzah, whatever it is. You've already started this whole enterprise, and now you've changed your mind, you're not going to shecht it anymore, and it turns out you did something bad by moving this dirt around on yontif. And so therefore, Rabba says there's a special gzeir drabanan, even within Beis Shammai's Shita, which says, if you don't have everything ready to go, you can't shecht, because we're worried about this situation where you're going to start moving dirt around and then abandon the enterprise. Udidi, and me, I, Rav Yosef, hold, ha'adifa, it's not such a terrible risk. We're not so worried about that. The Rabbanan are not the gzeira, because we don't, that's going to destroy the whole thing. We want you to have Simchas Yom Tov. We want you to be able to shecht. And so we say, okay, even if, within Beis Shammai Shita again, even if you don't have the dirt ready, get the dirt ready, then shecht, and then finish off the kisui. That's the machokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Fine. Let's just do the next little piece, because it kind of follows this. The next piece of the Gemara was in Modim Shim Shachat Shiyachbar Bedekar Biyachase. So everyone agrees, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai say that if you're now faced with the situation after that, you shechted. So now you can do the kisui. You can do the kisui. So Amrav Zrika Amrav Yehuda, Vuhu Sheishlo Dekar Notes Mi Bo Jom. We're talking about a situation where you already had a shovel, what's it called? A spade stuck in the ground, and the dirt was loosened already. Tosos explains that this is to deal with the problem of Muchan. Dirt typically is muktzah. It's like itzim avanim. It's muktzah. But if you had a spade stuck in the ground already, that makes it kind of quasi muchan, and therefore you're not going to have a problem of muktzah. So if you had the spade in there a little bit and the dirt was muchan, so that's the situation where Beis Hillel is going to allow you to do the kisui hadam. The Gemara says that might solve your problem with muktzah, but v'ha'avad kedisha. That's not going to solve your problem of another malacha, which is grinding. You're not allowed to grind. Rashi here explains that what begets this question is the fact that we now know that the permissibility of doing kisui isn't because of asei docha lo satse. Right? You might have thought that the reason Beis Hillel now allows you to do kisui is because you're faced with an asei of kisui dam, and you're faced with a lo satse of lo satse kol malacha, and asei docha lo satse. But the fact that Beis Hillel is concerned, according to Rabbi Zukra and Rabbi Yehuda, that about a muktzah problem, so we see here that he's not working with asei docha lo satse, and he's got to deal head on with these malachos. So if that's the case, you're now faced with another problem of you're going to have to grind the dirt, because in order to do kisui, you need fine dirt. So aren't you going to have to grind the dirt? Amrav chia barashi amarav ba'afar tichuach. Now we're talking about dirt that's already ground up. The Gemara says, "Va'avid guma." There's another malacha you have a problem with, which is you're digging a hole. It's yontif, you're not allowed to dig a hole. Because Rabbi Avad and Rabbi Abar ha'chofer guma b'shabes v'notzarach ala fara pater aleha. If the only reason you need this hole is not because you need a hole, but because you need the dirt, it's a malacha shein, it's richo gufa, and it is mutter, and that's why it's not a problem. Tosfos asks, what do you mean a malacha shein and tzricha gufa is mutter? A malacha shein and tzricha gufa might be mutter midaraisa, it's still aser drabanan. We don't do that on Shabbos. We don't dig holes if you need dirt, right? It's still aser midrabanan. So Tosfos explains because Simchas Yom Tov overrides that prohibition, that's not going to be a problem. But it is going to be a problem for Decker, no, it's Mibo Jom. Just very quickly before we finish, what's a malacha if, First of all, it seems here from Shitas Beis Hillel that if you're not able to do kisui adam, you're not allowed to shech, which is an interesting thing. The Torah never says that. The Gemara never says that explicitly. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that way based on the Torah. The Torah gets that from the Rashba, and the Rashba in Torah Sabayis actually derives it from our Gemara. Our Gemara is the source for the notion that if you know you can't do kisui adam, you shouldn't shech. So that's an important thing. The other thing to consider is what's the halacha if you're in this situation where you shechted it, now you can't do kisui adam because you don't have a dekar notz mivod yom. You don't have any afar muchan. You don't have any dirt. So are you allowed to eat the meat? Are you allowed to eat the meat if you shecht and you can't do kisui adam? So the answer is yes. Kisui is not ma'akev, the eating of the meat. The Shach quotes the Bach saying that for the person who shechted, if he fails to do kisui adam, there's a knas that we don't allow him to eat the meat. That probably wouldn't, my guess is that wouldn't apply in this case, because here he's just precluded from doing the kisui because of a practical problem. It's yontif. He doesn't have any dirt ready. But so he would, I would imagine, would still be able to eat the meat.
How many people wash? We have a million of washing.